What is up, Tan and J-Man Show Nation? It's the J-Man here. Alongside me is the T-Dog, Tanner. How you doing out there, T-Dog?
Doing good, J-Man. It's one of my favorite weeks of the year, NFL Draft Week.
Yeah, Thursday night we got round one, then rounds two through three on Friday, then four through seven on Saturday. So always one of our favorite events of the year, although we were both kind of talking today, and it doesn't seem as hyped as he usually does. And I don't know what that, why that is. I don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if it's because in a lot of people's mind, the first three, if not four picks, are kind of already set in stone, even though I've seen some mocks that have some shakeups at two in particular, draft spot number two. But I don't know. I mean, I think it's going to be a fun draft, but yeah, I mean, it didn't sneak up on me. I know it snuck up on you.
Yeah, I can't forget.
It didn't really sneak up on me, but at the same time, like we said, it just doesn't seem to have the same pre-hype coverage as it has in the past. I don't know.
Yeah, for years, it was like my favorite event of the year. And I think the way they do it now where, you know, round one is Thursday and then two, three, Friday, then the rest is on Saturday. I miss it when it was like rounds, what was it, like one through four on Saturday and then five through seven on Sunday or something like that. I don't know. I think I like that format better than it is now, but it's been this way for a long time. It was a long day. And that was a long time ago, too. That was probably 15 years ago now, 10, 15 years ago they used to do that. But I don't get into it as much. Like, I haven't followed any pre-draft coverage at all. For whatever reason, haven't looked at a single mock draft. I'm excited to hear yours to get me up to date on the what you're hearing throughout the Twitter.
What I'm hearing, Well, I will say there's a lot of there's like four schools and like some my mock draft that kind of dominated the first round. Mm. So, I mean, there was other schools obviously, but there's four schools that had multiple picks. So
yeah.
But I brought some birdie or bogey with me. You're in a just a commanding lead right now for the year. I'm in trouble, honestly, unless you have a Greg Norman type meltdown. But I've had this one to holster for a while, saving it for draft week because I figured out weeks ago I was going to have the question. I was going to be the question giver in NFL draft week. There's only three teams in the NFL to have never held the number one overall pick. Name those three teams.
I will try to do that. Probably won't do that, but I will definitely give my.
And I'll be nice. I'm in a good mood today. Two for a par, of course. All three for a birdie.
Yeah, you don't have to be nice.
I will.
Especially since I have a 4-stroke lead right now.
That's why I'm being nice. I need all the help I can get in the long run, and you should be nice in return. But you're a jerk, so.
I am. So we'll see if this changes things around for me. If my heart grows a little bigger, kind of like the Grinch, we'll see. Probably not.
Have you ever been diagnosed by the doctor with having a small heart?
No, I can honestly say I have not.
All right. Well, I'll leave that one alone. I'll leave that one alone.
Birdie or Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House for good food, casual atmosphere with great cocktails, located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana.
Yeah, and over the weekend, they had a special at a juicy 7-ounce pork loin served with creamy mashed potatoes, spring succotash, and topped with zesty orange thyme sauce?
Thyme sauce,
aka sunshine on a plate. And they had Ike and Dave in the house performing some music for 3 hours. They're a local band in Rochester, Indiana that play quite a bit over the calendar year at different establishments. So,
pork loin reminds me of what's the game show with Steve Harvey?
Family Feud.
Family Feud, yeah. It was like, what was the question? I think you've seen it before. It was like, what word can follow pork or something like that?
Yes.
And one person goes, lawn. And so maybe, and then the next person goes, cupine.
Unbelievable. Yeah, just go. If you want to go down a funny rabbit hole, entertaining rabbit hole, type in Family Feud out. Ridiculous bloopers, answers, bloopers. things like that, and you'll have a good time for a little while.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. But before we dive heavy into things, Jamin, did you have a good Easter?
I had a pretty good Well, we had some sickness run through the house, but other than that, pretty good Easter for the most part. Didn't do anything special. I was lucky enough to have a company that gives me the day off on Friday, and it was a, you know, 75-degree Chicagoland day, which it's not much better than that. So that was pretty pretty good. What about you?
Yeah, Easter was good. Celebrated with my wife's side of the family yesterday. Celebrated my side of the family last Sunday or the previous Sunday. And one thing I wanted to ask you, and I'm sure your daughter had a wonderful Easter and probably got a lot of stuff. And I don't mean this question bad at all. So don't take it this way. And I don't mean it to any parents out there.
You know what? I'm going to take offense already. I'm just saying, regardless of what you say, I'm going to take offense.
Because you know, I'm not a parent. It's each their own. But I'm throwing this out there for conversation a little bit. When did Easter become like Christmas 2.0 for kids?
It's crazy.
That's where I was going with this. Yeah,
I saw something like that today too. Like people get these extravagant gifts, and that's not the way we're going to do it here.
Yeah,
An Easter basket's fine. You know, sure. I mean, we got candy. Easter baskets growing up. We got the candy. Yeah. We got my daughter like a stuffed animal, a stuffed goose. It's pretty funny.
Sure.
A couple books were in it, some candy. I think we got her some sidewalk chalk.
Yeah, that's perfect.
So, yeah. But yeah, these extravagant, like, yeah, Christmas type. It's crazy. Like
new bikes.
Yeah.
New bikes. New, yeah, that's, new sneakers.
That's ridiculous. I do remember one year I somehow convinced my grandmother to buy me a video game for Easter. She usually sent us, I don't know how much money she sent us, not much on Easter. You know, it's Easter. It's not Christmas.
Right.
And I somehow scammed her into, not scammed her, but convinced her to buy me, I think it was...
You tugged at her heartstrings in your grandson ways.
I think it was NBA Street 2, if I remember correctly. It was like early 2000s. It was either the first NBA Street or the second one. I PS2 to do it. PS2, yep. And she did it. But other than that, yeah, candy. What's your favorite Easter candy? You a big Peeps guy?
No, I hate Peeps. I can't stand Peeps. I'm not a big... I like marshmallows, but I'm not like... Outside of just marshmallows, like I don't like Lucky Charms or didn't as a kid. I don't know. I'm not a big marshmallow guy besides just the white regular marshmallows, but I like the Reese eggs. Anything with peanut butter in it. I'm a Sour Patch Kids fan, big Sour Patch Kids fan. My mother-in-law actually, she gave my wife and I a combined Easter basket. And I got Sour Patch Kids socks. I will be rocking some of those. So I'm a big Sour Patch Kids fan. I mean, I do like candy, not as much as my father. I don't know many people that like candy more than my father.
Me either. Hard candy. Yeah.
But not a Peeps guy, no.
No, I mean, I don't mind Peeps. It wouldn't be my preferred candy of choice. But really anything Reese's, honestly.
Yeah, like, it's hard to go wrong.
I've gotten addicted over the past like 6 months to the Reese's covered animal crackers. Oh,
haven't had those.
Man, they're good. They are good. I got a bag in my room right now. I'm gonna have to go devour some after the show. Should have just
dude during the show. I mean, I'm not gonna judge. Finn and J Man Show Nation won't judge.
If you ever get a chance to get some, they are fantastic.
Yeah, but I didn't really. Well, I kind of did want to go down a rabbit hole since you know we were talking about Easter and rabbits and stuff, but. I don't know. It's just something I've noticed like the last couple of years is like, man, Easter's like Christmas 2.0 for kids now.
So. Yeah. Kids like open an actual presents instead of just having their Easter basket. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, to each their own, but.
To each their own. I'm not a parent. And I'm never going to tell somebody how to parent their own children, but.
No.
Just an observation.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess. There really isn't another holiday you open presents besides your birthday and Christmas or get presents.
No.
Like you don't get presents for Thanksgiving. I mean, maybe some families do. Halloween, you get candy.
Yeah. I mean, Valentine's Day, I don't know if people.
Not kids.
No,
I mean, my mom always got me like candy.
Right. Yeah. Same here, but not like actual presents. No. Yeah. Besides birthday and Christmas.
Interesting. The Cubs are still playing some good baseball, Jamie.
Yeah. I'm pretty pleased with their performance through, 24 games so far. I'm not going to get too ahead of myself yet because last year they were 15-9 through 24 games, and the year before they were 14-10 as well. So, but very encouraging signs with this ball club, considering they have by far had the hardest schedule in baseball so far. I mean, they are already done with the Padres, who are a very good baseball team, and last I checked, still had the best record in the majors. They still do. They are all done with Arizona, who is also a very good baseball team, and I think will be a playoff team at the end of the year. They'll be done with the Dodgers on Wednesday, and then they still have to play the Phillies. So it's been a very brutal schedule. I mean, you look at the teams they've played so far, and I really hope, I favorited this, and I did. records against the Cubs versus records against everyone else. The Athletics are they went 0-3 against the Cubs. They are 10-8 against everyone else. Cubs went 4-3 against the Arizona Diamondbacks. They are, I gotta do my math now. They were 10-5 against everyone else. And now I think, 10-5 against everyone else. Cubs went 3-3 against the Padres. The Padres are 13-3 against everyone else. They went 2-1 against the Rangers, and the Rangers are 13-7 against everyone else. And the Dodgers are 3-2 against them, but they are 12-5 against everyone else. So a lot of those teams' losses have come against the Cubs, which is a good thing going forward. As we said last week, Justin Steele's out for the year, so they got some really troubling pitching issues. Especially in the bullpen, and it flared up majorly on Friday afternoon. It was a tough day to pitch because, the wind's blowing out 30 miles an hour, so it feels like if you hit a fly ball, the thing's going to go. But Cubs found themselves up 7-1 in the top of the eighth inning in control, feeling pretty good. Next thing you know, they gave up 10 runs in the eighth inning alone, and that included arguably their best reliever, Porter Hodge, giving up six runs by himself. And found themselves down 11-7. Now, what the Cubs have done is they just fought back, and they put up a sixth spot in the bottom of the eighth. So it was a 16-run inning total in the eighth inning, which is, the most in an inning since 1914. And just the seventh and eighth innings at Wrigley today, there were six homers, two grand slams, all four types of hit, single, double, triple, homer, all four types of homers, solo, two-run shot, three-run, grand slam, three half innings of five or more runs. Never in MLB history had that all of that happened in an entire game, let alone two innings. So, they have some pitching issues, and they did make a trade I saw today for Drew Pomeranz, and you have it up on the screen, I think, too, right?
Yes, I do.
Yep. Yes, you do. But he's a AAA guy who is about 40 years old. So he's been around for a long time, but he's had a pretty good career. He's been in the rotation, in the bullpen as well. I think he had an ERA over 4 through 14 innings in AAA so far this year. So at the very least, it helps with depth. And they've had a bunch of off days, which help as well to kind of get things reset in there because they use a ton of pitchers on Friday and then went 11 innings yesterday. So, the offense has been fantastic, still leading baseball in runs scored, still leading baseball in run differential. The defense was playing really well, but it has really struggled here the past week or so, which is kind of, I don't know if it's a cause for concern, but it's been kind of weird because we thought that'd be a strength. I mean, Nico Horner had a couple errors, which, I mean, he's a Gold Glover. Michael Bush had an error. The third basemans have looked rough all season. They need to clean some stuff up, but they play a brutal schedule this week. They are at home, which is nice, but they have the Dodgers for two and then the Phillies for three, so arguably the two best teams in the National League, two of the three best teams in the National League anyway. Just got to keep stacking wins, and then the schedule really lightens up in May. But Maya has kind of been their bugaboo the past 2 years that they went. I think it was 8-19 in May, excuse me, last year, and 8-18 in May the year before. And that's honestly what kept them out of the playoffs both years. But this year, I think they get the White Sox, they get the Rockies, they get the Pirates.
So, two worst teams in baseball right there.
Yeah, two real bad teams.
My gosh.
White Sox are 5-16, Rockies are 4-17. So they got to win all those. There's no excuse to lose a single one of those. And hopefully they will be able to just stay in it long enough, which I think they'll stay in it for sure. But hopefully they can play some good baseball even without some of these guys and with some extreme pitching issues. So I know Jed's kind of feeling the heat because, you know, last year of his deal, he's been significantly more aggressive so far in the first month, sending guys down, bringing guys up. I mean, last year, I think they would have kept Matt Shaw up until he proved that he really was overmatched. And they gave Matt Shaw, their stud rookie, you know, 15, 16 games before they sent him down because he wasn't playing very well. So hopefully that's a sign of things to come this summer. And hopefully they can make a trade here soon. And hopefully they can get a deal done extension-wise with Kyle Tucker before the season's up too. So it's starting to get more and more buzz that they're at least having conversations with him. He is a guy they have to lock up. He's a bona fide superstar. Season ended today, he'd probably be the National League MVP. That's how good he's been offensively. You need to keep a guy like that, or the fans might actually revolt this time if they don't get it done, but we'll see.
I'm looking at different statistics in the way of standings here in the MLB. And the White Sox and the Rockies have only won one road game each. Mm-hmm. White Sox are 1-9 on the road. Rockies are 1-11. But why have the Rays only played three road games?
I don't know. I think it has to do with they're sharing a stadium.
And, right.
But still, it does seem like now I hadn't even really noticed it, but now I'm like, yeah, every single highlight I've seen of them, they are playing at.
Yeah, they're 9-10 at home, 0-3 on the road.
Cracker Jack Box Stadium. So I don't know when that will switch. Tons of
road games.
Yeah, which is, I mean, they're already not a very good team to begin with.
9-13. Yeah.
And that's not going to help. I mean, I'm trying to see here. Maybe April. Oh man, their July is rough as far as road games go. Oh, they have 12 straight road games in August.
By that time, their season's probably done. I mean, pretending, yeah.
Jeez. Yeah, 21 road games in August they have. Yeah, no, that's wrong. 18 road games in August still.
That's a lot.
And they have a bunch in July too. So July and August are stacked with
the Rays.
Yeah, I don't know what they're gonna do. It's gonna be the same way next year too, in the year after. They've been talking about a new stadium for how long now? 15 years, and every single time, all right, we're gonna break ground. City council says, "Oh, not so fast."
Not so fast, my friend. And
yes.
Lee Corso would say, who's retiring at the age of 90? One more game day appearance during week one of the college football season in August this year. So,
you know, ESPN does a really good job. They do a lot of things wrong at ESPN, but they do well with, sending old guys off. I mean, they did it with Hubie Brown this past year, 91 years old, called his last game. They honored him throughout it. So I'm sure the first game day will kind of be a cry fest, if you will. Real emotional for Corso, but especially, I mean, I think Herb Street will have a hard time even talking through it, I bet. So
yeah, Lee's like a father figure to him, you can tell. And College Game Day is not the show it is today without Lee Corso. Not even close.
So,
but any other thoughts around the baseball world right now?
I mean, we have some teams not really separated. Every division's within two games so far. I mean, we have the Mets winning the NL East. They're two games up on the Phils. Both really good teams. I still think, even though Atlanta's in last place, it's still so early. That Atlanta
2-11 on the road. They got to find a way to win some road games.
They've struggled, and they should get Acuna back. They did get Spencer Strider back for a start after missing pretty much all of last year, if not all of last year, with Tommy John. But he hurt his hamstring playing catch today.
Oh my gosh!
Put him on the 15-day injured list again. But I still
how does that happen?
Nah, it's I don't know.
Offline throw by a guy, so you kind of have to move one direction. Yeah. And
I have the hamstring. No idea. He is so jacked, like he is a muscle head that maybe he's
sometimes
so...
that can hurt you too.
I know it hurts your flexibility, and you're just so tight that.
I mean, you would know, Jay. Man, you would know.
I'm a muscle. I'm a meathead, as they say. Cubs are winning the Central by a game. Means nothing this far into the year. Padres and Dodgers separated by half game. Every team in that division except the Rockies are at least four games over 500. The
Rockies just need to go down to AAA. They just need to take five off.
Yeah, be relegated.
They might even get beat by some AAA teams.
They might. They honestly might. AL West, the Rangers are winning that one by a game over Seattle. Angels are right there. Houston's right there. And I almost said Oakland, but I didn't. The A's are right there as well. Tigers are winning Central. Cleveland right behind them. Kansas City disappointing through 23 games so far, but I think they'll be okay. Twins stink. White Sox stink. Yankees winning the East. Two games up on Toronto. Boston's right there. Baltimore's kind of been sluggish to start the year as well, but I think they'll be okay. But other than that, not a whole lot of happenings in April when it comes to baseball. Anytime the Cubs are above the Cardinals is a good year, which has been happened the past couple years. So
there you go. You want to get educated?
Always. I need it.
And Ray Davis, so I agreed with you. Anytime the Cubs are above the Cardinals,
I agreed with him. I saw it.
Okay. I thought you just
no.
Okay. I forgot you can see comments too. So, all right, let's see what sporting events have happened on April 21st. And there's the graphic. Wednesday, 1904, Ty Cobb made his professional debut for the Augusta Tourists in the South Atlantic League. A lot of Boston Marathon.
How long do you think it'd take you to run 26 miles? A couple days?
No.
It shouldn't.
No, I could get it done in a day, but it would be like...
I'd walk a majority of it.
Oh, man. 18 hours, maybe? Something yeah. Stupid. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, if you got to think, like,
just as long as you're constantly moving.
Yeah. If you do,
I don't know,
like a mile and a half an hour, which I think is very, very doable.
I can run 2 miles on the treadmill right now. Not sprint, but I can jog.
Yeah.
But after that, I get pretty tired. So.
Yeah, well, like even a brisk walk, I think I could do 26 miles, and I would say it might take me 14, 15 hours, but I should be able to do it.
I probably didn't give myself enough credit, but I would have to be very hydrated.
Yeah.
Let's see. This is a weird one I've never seen. On this day, 1944, the NFL Chicago Cardinals and Pittsburgh Steelers merge, then dissolve on December 3rd.
Wonder if it was a World War II thing.
Oh. Could be. One I missed a decade prior on the day, 1934, Senators catcher Mo Berg plays. That's weird. Oh, I get what I'm saying. Plays an AL record 117th consecutive airless game.
Pretty
good for a catcher.
That's very good for a catcher.
On this day, 1951, who won the NBA championship?
51? I'm going to go with the Minneapolis Lakers.
The Rochester Royals beat the New York Knicks 79-75 to take the series 4-3. First finals appearance for both teams. On this day, 1967, the Dodgers had their first rainout in Los Angeles after 37 consecutive games.
I don't think they'll have many more of those.
Man, a lot of Boston Marathon. On this day, 1987, the Brewers lost their 13th consecutive. No, wait. Brewers lose, ending AL season opening winning streak at 13. Never mind. Oh. Thought they lost 13 straight games. Okay. They started the season with 13 straight wins, then lost.
I remember, I think it was 1996, maybe. Cubs started 0-14.
It's not good.
No, something like that.
On this day in 1989, George W. Bush and Edward W. Rose became joint CEOs of the Texas Rangers.
I've always heard George W.'s dream job wasn't the presidency. It was MLB commish.
That would have been an interesting role.
Mm-hmm.
Except nobody was unseen Bud Selig back then.
No, somebody should have.
Well, it was the 1990, the MLB's Cincinnati Reds extended their winning streak to start the year into 9-0, best start in club history.
What was about the last time they were halfway decent?
This is a weird one. Also, on this day, 1990, there was a National League umpire that was arrested for stealing baseball cards. I'd say who.
I for one, remember when they had National League umps and American League umps. Now it's just. Yeah, it's been probably, I don't know, 20 years before they since they changed that.
Who was the number one overall NFL draft pick in 1991?
91? Was that Jeff George?
It was University of Maryland defensive tackle Russell Maryland to the Dallas Cowboys.
Huh, Maryland, huh? Went to Maryland.
Russell Maryland of Miami, Florida.
Miami, Florida.
Yep. Well, I assume it says University of Miami. I assume it's Florida, not Ohio. I assume. On the day 1994, Eddie Murphy set a record for switch hit home runs in a game 11 times.
Man, he was good. He played for 40 years.
Yeah, I did. On this day, 1995, the Boston Celtics won their final regular season game at the Boston Garden, beating the Knicks 98-92. Then they went to the Fleet Center, I think. And now I don't know what it's called.
I have no clue what it's called. Isn't it TD Ameritrade Boston Garden or something like that?
I think you're right. On this day, 1996, the Bulls wrapped up the regular season with NBA record 72 wins, 72-8. On this day in 2001, who was drafted number one overall in the NFL draft?
2001. Oh, was that Vic? Michael Vick?
Michael Vick. Atlanta Falcons.
I used to be really good at this, but I get my years screwed up.
Yeah, it's easy to do. On this day in 2012, Chicago White Sox pitcher Philip Umbar pitched the 21st MLB perfect game against the Seattle Mariners.
I would say he was the worst pitcher ever to throw a perfect game. That'd be like Danny Willett winning the Masters or something.
Yeah. Good comparison there. I like that. On this thing, 2018, Oakland A's left-hander Sean
Manaea?
Mm-hmm. No hit the Boston Red Sox.
He's from the region. I played against him in high school.
Did you get a hit?
I don't remember.
I'm going to take it as a no, because I think you would remember that if you got a hit against it's a guy who pitched a no-hitter in MLB.
Yeah.
But knowing you, you went down swinging. You didn't look at him. You didn't look at the strike.
No, I don't remember.
Estimation. I cannot talk.
Estimation.
If you had an estimate of your career strikeouts for Rochester Zebras high school, how many did you go down looking?
I remember two at least. And I think I told the umpire, I know the strike zone better than you on both of them, because neither were strikes, in my humble opinion. It was very rare I got like fooled and took something looking.
And knowing high school J-Man, he didn't want to say that nicely to y'all either, but he knew he'd get kicked out if he wanted to say what he really wanted to say.
I wanted to tell him, get some glasses there, fella. Yeah, blankety, one, blank. I remember we were playing at Plymouth, And I was the final out of the game. We were down one.
This wasn't the sectional game. You got picked off a second.
Not the sectional game. No, okay. This was at Plymouth, but like actually against Plymouth. That was.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah, CMA, the sectional game was against CMA, and you know the guy ended up playing Division One. So I feel better about that. But this pitch was so far outside that I would have had to throw my bat at it just to hit it, and he called it a strike. Not fun memory. You never asked me about my good memories that I have in baseball. I don't have that many, but
because like we say, like we like to live in misery. We like to talk about bad things that happen to our sports team. So that is I talk true. About bad golf shots. You talk about bad memories of baseball. That's what we do.
Bad baseball. Yeah,
that's what we do.
Yeah, the getting picked off second will always be my my top one. Never did that again though. I learned.
Yeah, you learned. You learned your lesson.
Yeah.
So, well, that was the On This Day segment, which is brought to you by This Week, like it is every week on the Tan and J-Man Show, Mooney Woodcrafts. Mooney Woodcrafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs that fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them at Moody Woodcrafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man Show sent you, get 15% off your first signed order. Mother's Day is coming up on May 11th, I believe it is. So it's right around the corner. And then Father's Day after that. So not too early. Definitely not too early for Mother's Day. Start thinking about what to get your mom. So
yes, sir.
Just saying. Order a wooden sign through Thad. Tell them the Tan and J-Man Show sent you. Get 15% off. Easy enough. What is your blind ranking?
It is NFL draft related.
All right.
So I will, I'll do that right now. It's just random number one overall picks.
Oh, great.
Any
criteria I have to base this on? Like my likeness of them, their overall career?
I'm going to say overall career.
All right.
What I will say. So starting with Cam Newton.
Ooh, good one. Broncos broke him in Super Bowl 50.
They really did, didn't they?
He was an MVP that year, but he was never the same again. Like I said, got the Panthers to Super Bowl second.
I will say these are all since at least 2000, so it's not any like way back. That might help you out a little bit.
God, he was an MVP, so I mean, that's tough to do. So I'm going to put him at two.
All
right. I don't feel good about it, but I hate putting guys at three right away.
So no, yeah, that, yeah, I don't blame you.
He was pretty darn good for a while, but then, man, he just fell off.
Yeah.
Thank you, Von Miller.
Jared Goff.
If you would have asked me this a while back, I would have had him at five without even thinking during his Rams days. Yeah. But he's had a good resurrection of his career in Detroit. I'm gonna go four.
Four, huh?
Four.
I'd almost, you know, I'll say it after we're done. Mario Williams.
Not a great career, but not as bad as a lot of people probably think.
Mm-hmm.
Was number one overall pick by the Texans. When a lot of people thought they should get Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush went second to the Saints. Played for a handful of teams. Texans, Bills, Dolphins. Let's name a couple I can think of. Multi-time Pro Bowler. But I'm going to put him at five.
All right. Jake Long.
Dolphins number one overall pick. Was really good when he stayed healthy.
He was like Hall of Fame trajectory.
Yeah.
He would have stayed healthy. But he didn't.
I'm not good at evaluating linemen. I'm going three.
All right. I think you'll be okay with that for sure, because I have Myles Garrett on this list.
All right. I'm good with him number one.
That's not a bad list, honestly.
No, it's not. I probably put Cam one just for winning the MVP and getting to a Super Bowl. I mean, it's not Myles Garrett's fault that his team's trash around him, but he's dominant. He can take over a game. It's the best as position, in my opinion, in the league. So, yeah, I'm good with that list. Where would you rank them?
I would put Garrett one. Then I would put Jared Goff two. I think I know Cam had the MVP. Yep. But that was one season. I think Goff has proven, I mean, they both lost Super Bowls. They've both been to Super Bowls and both lost. But I think Goff has proven that his longevity.
Goff didn't leave Lions Super Bowl. Forgot he played in the most boring Super Bowl of all time.
Worst Super Bowl ever. I'd put him 2. I'd put Scam 3. I'd put Jake Long 4. And then Mario 5. 5. Although I think Long and Williams could be a coin flip. And I probably just gave Long the Dolphins bump, if you will.
Ray, he would have Cam at 4, and then Goff at 3, Mario at 5, Jake Long at 2, and Miles Garrett at 1.
Yeah, good list.
I figured it's gonna be NFL draft related. I even figured it's gonna be number one overall picks.
This is how much the NFL draft snuck up on me. All day I was thinking about doing a WrestleMania one.
Hey, I would have been game for that. Man.
I know. So I'm like, I can't think of any. What has happened? I'm like,
well, I would have been game for that.
Tanner's been tweeting about WrestleMania for about 4 days.
Don't give me down a rabbit hole about Travis Scott, please, today. Please.
The rapper Travis Scott, the musical artist.
Yes.
What happened?
He was. Okay. Oh, you got here. Got rabbit hole, everybody. Everybody's turning the podcast off now. So last month, up at a pay per view in Canada called Elimination Chamber, he came out with The Rock in a segment with Cody Rhodes and John Cena. And that's when John Cena turned heel, which is a bad guy. And they formed like a little faction, those three. Uh-huh. And Travis Scott legit busted Cody Rhodes' eardrum because he smacked him so hard upside the head. So he doesn't know what he's doing. Yeah. Okay. Didn't see him till WrestleMania, even though you're like, he and The Rock are probably going to be involved. Well, The Rock didn't show up. I guess he wasn't playing. That was stupid. I don't know why The Rock was there last month then. But Travis Scott's music hits in the main event for the title of John Cena versus Cody Rhodes. And he comes down and helps John Cena win the world title.
Ah.
Are you kidding me? What are we doing? You have a celebrity rapper that's getting involved in your biggest match of the year. What are you doing? Stupid. Just dumb.
The writers phoned it in, huh?
Yeah, they did. Big time. It's good WrestleMania till then. Good WrestleMania till his music hit. And I don't know if I can say this on with FCC, but it felt like just a wet fart.
When his music hit. I don't know why you couldn't
say that. Took the air out of the building.
How often does a guy turn heel and then go and win the main event in WrestleMania?
No, once in a while. Everybody knew John Cena was going to win because this is his last year. He's retiring at the end of the year, like for good. And this passed him over Ric Flair for the most championships ever. 17. So it was writing on the wall that he was going to win. It was just, you didn't know how he was going to win. I thought The Rock would get involved because The Rock's a bad guy right now when he shows up, but he didn't. And Travis Scott did instead.
I saw Cena said that fans have bullied him into getting hair plugs.
His bald spot's pretty bad.
As someone who's had a bald spot since 22, bald is beautiful.
Yeah, but see, you just rock it. He's still trying to grow hair, and it's
just shave it, man. It's so much easier to just shave it.
You should. So, but good blind rankings, and I got my WrestleMania.
You're welcome.
Venting out of the way, so. The Blind Ranking segment is brought to you by Performer Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for your next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting in 2025, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for a fast and efficient response to all your print needs. You need to look no further. Let them be your one source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815.
I saw Purdue just picked up a football transfer commit.
Michael Jackson from Georgia.
Different guy. Our good friend Evan Webb just put it on here. Maybe the best name in college football, Nitro Tuggle.
Oh, they got Nitro Tuggle too. They got two Georgia wide receivers today. That didn't, well,
didn't work last
time. Georgia didn't work out for him last time. So
stay off the roads in Tippecanoe County is what.
Yeah, Nitro Tuggle got arrested. Arrested for down in Athens this past just a month or two ago for going 100 miles per hour.
Fits right in with the Georgia culture, huh?
But he's from Northwood High
School. He's from Goshen. Yeah, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
What a name, though.
I remember, I had forgotten about him. I remembered him when he was at North Northwood, but usually if they don't go to Purdue or stay in state or go into Big Ten, I kind of forget about the guy, especially if they don't play right away, which he played a little bit for Georgia, but not much.
You say the other guy's name was Michael Jackson. I don't know why that
Yep.
You got a Nitro Tuggle and a Michael Jackson, huh?
What a day. They're working hard in the portal.
Kind of had to.
It's crazy, man. It's crazier in football than it is basketball. It's like, give me the roster, especially with a new coach. Give me the roster in August. I'll figure
it out.
Especially
new coach, for sure.
Their quarterback, Ryan Brown, that left in December, is back.
That's weird.
He left for 4 months, pretty much almost like a tryout, it looked like, with North Carolina. But
it was weird. He like posts that he's on a visit. Like, was he? Well, of course he's visiting with the staff, I guess. But I'm like,
yeah, not met the staff. He talked to him, but he talked to him over the phone, but he had not met with him in person.
And then he had a commitment post. Like, I just find that funny that he had a commitment.
Oh, yeah.
Post, even though he was there last year. Yeah. I also find it funny when people put out posts that they're returning, and it's a whole graphic. I know pretty much everyone does it now.
Yeah,
but it's still stupid, in my opinion.
It's just the era we live in. It's,
I know.
To be honest, it wouldn't shock me if he's their starter week one. I know it's a different offense, everything, but I don't think any of the other guys they got in the portal, they had three of them, one of them already entered the portal again. I don't think any of them lit the world on fire.
Yeah.
That's my biggest gripe with the portal in college football. I don't like this. You can go through spring ball and then transfer in December, go through spring ball, then hit the portal again. You should be able to have, you should have to play one season at that school.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, it makes sense for people that were already on the roster. Okay, after spring ball, it looks like I'm not going to have much of an opportunity. I'm going to go.
Sure.
But guys that transfer in, I think they got to be there through one full season.
What are we doing about school? What are we doing about our credits?
Well, now there's going to be guys 40 years old playing college, athletics, because if they no longer can enforce the 5-year rule or whatever it is, career college players.
And I know, I guess they, even though they're transferring to a school, they still finish academically the semester where they're at.
It's gotta be awkward.
But, man, it's just weird.
I can't imagine like Merez Johnson showing up to his Illinois classes, the reception he
would get
there.
Yeah, exactly. Let's be honest. How many athletes go to in-person class?
Anyway? Probably not very often.
Man, what a world we live in.
They probably only show up when they have a good game or something, or a big win or something, so they can get all the praise. But then,
what a world. What a world. So even Matt Painter's dipping his toe in the portal more so than he ever has. So,
adapt or die.
Yep. He's pretty good at adapting to things.
He is. Very good.
All right, we got about 17 minutes left. I got my annual NFL mock draft. I used to do like three of these bad boys.
I remember that.
Time to one. Yeah. I've got lazy.
I think it's less. It's not laziness. I think it's just like pointless that you did three.
Because
it changed so much from whenever you did your first one in March to now.
Yep. But the number one's pretty set in stone. It was one of my bold 25 predictions for 2025. Titans taking quarterback from the U, Cam Ward.
Yeah, this is like the first time. I don't know if – well, Caleb Williams was not very well kept here, but it seems like this has been set in stone for a long time, more so than usual.
Yep. So Titans need a QB, and they stink. Mm-hmm. They're going to stink with them. Throw the kid in the fire, see what he can do. He had a pretty good career at Houston and then last year at Miami, Florida. Yep. So.
I think he was at Washington State before.
Washington State to Houston, right?
No, I think it was Washington State to Miami, because it was the Houston guy was the year before, 2 years before.
Oh, okay.
I get him so confused. I mean, I'm a big U guy. You know that.
Who the heck was that guy at Houston?
Unless I'm wrong. I could be wrong, too. But I'm pretty sure it was Washington State to Miami, because a few years ago, their quarterback was a transfer from Houston. Like, his last name was King, De'Aaron King, maybe?
I'm looking it up. You're right, Washington State. Yep, King was the guy from Houston.
That's right.
See, I'm glad you're here, and I'm not doing this by myself, because I would just say something, just move right on.
I like to fact check you.
Think I'm the smartest guy ever, and I'm not even close. So, all right, number two, Cleveland Browns. I got him taken. I'm calling him an athlete. Because he plays wide receiver and defense back, and he wants to do both in the pros. Don't know if that's attainable. But Travis Hunter from Colorado, Heisman Trophy winner.
wonder if he'll pull an Eli or Elway and say no thank you.
The Browns need a good football player. They need something to excite their fans. I think this would do it.
Yeah, if he plays both sides, that's pretty it's a pretty good player, obviously. That's like a Shohei Ohtani. I know they like to compare him to Shohei. It's not even remotely close, but if he can even play one like wide receiver competently, I think it's steal. No, two.
I mean, they could go QB route, I guess, at two. I've seen some mocks. Haven't taken Shadir at two.
Yeah, that's QB hell there.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, Deshaun Watson, man.
Yeah, Kenny Pickett.
Kenny Pickett. Number three, the New York Giants. I got him taking edge rusher Abdul Carter from Penn State.
Yeah. Yeah,
one time he was projected number one overall pick.
I was gonna say I think he might be the safest pick in the draft.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah,
pretty good. Number four, the Patriots. I could see them taking Travis Hunter if he slips down to four. Well, I could definitely see him picking.
Yeah,
but I don't think he's going to. I don't think he like exactly.
I don't think he Browns, gets back then, to the Giants.
Yeah, either. Right. I got him taking offensive tackle out of LSU, Will Campbell.
Yeah, that'd be a heck of a pick.
They did some good things in the offseason. They need to get some protection up there for Drake May.
Yeah, I think their best offseason acquisition was hiring Vrabel. He will turn them into a tough football team, and I hate that he's in my team's division.
Yeah, it's been joyful to watch the Patriots struggle, but
very.
Don't know how much longer that's going to last. So.
Yeah.
Number five, the Jaguars. This was a tough one because I feel like they could go many different directions. But there's a lot of smoke all of a sudden around Jaguars at number five with this player. And that's Ashton Jeanty, running back from Boise State.
Man, taking a running back top 10 in the first round anymore is risky, let alone top five or top 10 even. But that would be fascinating. The Jags are interesting because their new GM, who came from the Rams, follows the Ram playbook of they do not do pre-draft like visits or anything. So we have no clue who they're interested in at all.
Yep. That's just,
saw
it on a couple of different mock drafts. I'm like,
that'd be fun.
Another team that needs a spark of excitement for their five fans out there. So, and maybe this was a little personal bias. I don't want them falling to number six to the Las Vegas Raiders because there's a lot of smoke that the Raiders want them at number six.
They do need a running
back. They could go in a lot of different directions. They did sign Geno Smith to a 3-year deal. Pete Carroll taking the reins out there in Vegas. But Geno does have the team's got an option, I think, after 2026. So they could get out of it a year early. Some people think Shadir could be linked there. I got him going defensive tackle Mason Graham from Michigan.
He's also a very safe pick. There as far as like being taken in the top six, he's a pretty sure bet that he'll be a really good player. It'd be interesting if they do take Shadir though, and see the Sanders reaction to him not starting year one.
And if Geno plays good, you got him on contract for two more years.
Yeah,
that's. I just don't think they'll do it.
I hope they do. I think it'd be fascinating to watch.
Number seven, the Jets. Got him taking some offensive line help. They could go a lot of different directions, but I think they need to find somebody to block up there for Justin Fields. I'm taking Armand Membau, I believe is how you pronounce his name. I'm not sure on that. He's from Missouri. Yep. Number eight, Carolina Panthers. A lot of these teams can go in so many different directions, but the Panthers need some pass rushers. I got him taking edge rusher Jalen Walker out of Georgia. Dude's a stud. He might not even be there at eight.
No.
Number nine, New Orleans Saints.
Need a quarterback.
I got him taking Shadir Sanders from Colorado.
This will be the J-Man's book of prediction of the week. Jackson Dart is taken before Shadir Sanders. Sanders fall.
That's a hot take.
Yeah. Bold.
How far does he fall, J-Man? Does he stay in the first round or does he fall to the second round?
It'd be funny if he fell to the second round. Now, Titans will probably shock the world and take Shadir. But Dart's been getting some buzz, some like top 10 buzz, which that could
I don't understand it.
I don't either. All smoke screens as don't believe a word anyone says this week about the NFL draft because there's so much agent and team info out there. But J-Man's Book and Prediction of the Week brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency for life, home, auto, business, renters, workers' comp, and farm insurance. Contact Travis 219-869-4561.
And the Giants could take Shadir at three. You know, they need a Russell Wilson's a one-year rental. And it probably won't be good. But I think they take somebody like Jackson Dart in second or third round. That's what I'm looking at. So, number 10, Bears. They've had a good offseason. They've got a few good pieces on the offensive line, but you can never have enough linemen. I think they go offensive tackle Kelvin Banks Jr. from Texas.
Hoping you'd have him fall into the Dolphins.
What do you want the Dolphins to do?
Offensive line. Their offensive line is miserable. They also need D tackle. They're going to look for a trade to try to trade Jalen Ramsey. They got a lot of needs.
I know they were tough to predict. Yeah. San Francisco 49ers trying to fill a gap in their defensive backfield. I got them getting arguably the best defensive back in the draft, Will Johnson.
Oh, man. I was hoping after Banks was taken 10th, I was hoping Johnson would be there.
You're killing
me.
Number 12, Cowboys. I got them getting Dak some help, another target besides CeeDee Lamb. I cannot pronounce this guy's first name. Teteria McMillan out of Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
He's mocked as the first wide receiver off the board. Yeah. Some people have him going in the top five.
He's big. He's like 6'5", but can also run very fast.
Fly. Yep. The Miami Dolphins on the clock at 13. I got him getting the defensive back.
All right.
Jahdae Barron out of Texas.
Can I say I've never heard of him?
Jahdae, J-A-H-D-A-E. So a mock to the Dolphins in three different drafts. So.
Yeah, if Johnson falls, I think they take him. Malachi Starks has also been mentioned, but he had such a bad pre-draft workout.
He's a good safety.
That he might fall the second round, but his because he didn't run very well. That's pretty much it. But
I have him on the board in first round, but a little later. 14 Colts. I hope they don't get this guy
because I like Warren.
Tyler Warren, tight end out of Penn State, but he'd be a weapon for Richardson or Danny Dimes.
Definitely,
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense there. Number 15, Falcons. I always feel like the Falcons are a defensive needed team in the draft. So I got him getting linebacker Jihad Campbell out of Alabama. Number 16, Cardinals got them getting edge rusher Mike Green out of Marshall.
Marshall.
I've heard having somebody in the first round. Nice. I got a lot of edge rushers in this first round. The trend continues. Number 17, the Cincinnati Bengals taking edge rusher Mikael Williams out of Alabama.
They need as much defensive help as possible, or they're going to have to win 42-38 every single game.
Yep. Seattle Seahawks, I feel like, always need linemen, and they need somebody up there to protect Sam Darnold. Almost said Sam Howell. So I got him taking interior offensive lineman Gray Zabel from South Dakota State. 19, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I got him taking safety Malachi Starks out of Georgia.
There it is.
Number 20, Denver Broncos. I'm hopeful this guy falls to 20, and I'm thinking he might, maybe. Amarin Hampton out of North Carolina.
Running back.
Yep, running back. I could see them trading. Travion Henderson out of Ohio State's another one I love. Either one of those two guys, I'd be very happy. But as long as they get running back, whether it's first round or if their first pick is in the second round, if they trade back, as long as they get running back with the first pick, I'm going to be happy. It's not running back. Give me a tight end.
I remember that one year Broncos were picking real late and you stayed up and you're going to watch it and they traded out of the first round into the second round.
2012, Derek Wolf. Never forget.
Yeah.
It's like midnight. Oh, that's great. Going to bed. Derek Wolf's a good Bronco, but that ticked me off at the time. At number 21, Pittsburgh Steelers. They could go quarterback if Aaron Rodgers gives them any indication that he's not going to be Steeler. I think he will be, but it is exhausting. Make up your mind. Let them know.
He said,
tell them they're not in a rush.
He said, I'll play for cheap, like $10 million. I'd play quarterback for $50,000 there, sir, if I'm in the NFL.
I might bunch all my savings together, which isn't even close to $50,000 to watch you play quarterback in the NFL. I think the Steelers and Aaron Rodgers are a marriage this year. So I got them getting some defensive line help, defensive tackle Derek Harmon out of Oregon.
Yeah, their defense is getting old. older. So that makes sense.
Well, their offense will be old too if you got Rodgers slinging the rock back there. 22, I got Harbaugh and the Chargers taking Cole Loveland, tight end out of Michigan. Harbaugh knows him real well from Michigan.
Makes he's good a lot tight end, too.
He is good.
Yeah, Harbaugh will have the boringest draft, but he'll take the player that is one of the most productive players. You just know it. Offensive line, tight end, lives in the trenches.
Green Bay Packers at 23. It'll have the crowd's attention. The draft's in Green Bay this year. This one, I kind of took a need. I don't know if they really need, but Christian Watson can't stay healthy. So I thought Jordan Love might need another target. Matthew Golden out of Texas, wide receiver.
They're always needing some wide receiver help.
Yeah. Vikings at 24. I haven't taken a safety. It's a nightmare name to pronounce. Nick Animawari, I believe, out of South Carolina. I don't know. That's what I hate about the mock drafts every year. I'm like, there's always some names I just can't pronounce.
It's always my favorite part.
Number 25, the Texans. The Vikings actually were it was hard to find a mock draft with the Vikings staying put. They almost all of them have them drafting, falling back into the second round. So, but I don't do trades. Even though last year, I noticed I did trades in the mock draft for the first time. Too much work. 25th selection, I got the Texans getting some offensive line help for CJ Stroud. Couldn't think of his name. Offensive tackle out of The Ohio State University, Josh Simmons. 26, I got the Rams. The Rams taking Maxwell Hairston, cornerback out of Kentucky. And then I got a big run on edge rushers here late in the first round. 27, the Ravens. I got him taking edge rusher James Pierce Jr. Mm. A lot of people say he might be the most talented player on the whole entire draft board, but he's got some off-the-field problems.
Where's he from? Is he from Tennessee?
Tennessee. 28, got the Lions taking edge rusher Shamir Stewart out of Texas A&M. 29, Commanders, I got him getting some defensive backs help with Siobhan Revelle Jr. out of East Carolina. 30, I got the Bills taking edge rusher Nick Scorton out of Texas A&M. That hurt to type.
Purdue legend.
Yeah. I wish he would have played for Purdue last year. Maybe would have won him another ball game. Maybe. Might have saved Ryan Walters' job. On second thought, I'm glad he didn't stay. 31, the Chiefs defending AFC champions, which they've been a billion times. Got him getting Patrick Mahomes' offensive line help. They need more offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Josh Connerly Jr. from Oregon. And to wrap it up for the world champion Eagles, I got him getting edge rusher Donovan. I can't pronounce the last name. Out of Boston College. Ezeiruaku.
Not even going to attempt.
Ezeiruaku. Sure. Yeah. Good enough. So I'll probably be long wrong on a lot of these, but that's what I got. So.
I haven't thought about the birdie bogey question once, so that's not probably not boding too well for me.
Sean Shriver thought I skipped the Colts. I had the Colts at 14th taking tight end Tyler Warren out of Penn State. So, yep. Because I said I'd hate that pick because I like him. So,
yeah.
Birdie or bogey question this week. There's been three teams in the NFL who have never held the number one overall draft pick. Name those three teams.
Pretty sure Denver Broncos are one of them.
They are one. Yes. They traded for John Elway.
Yes. Oh man. Seattle Seahawks?
Seahawks are another one.
Oh man.
They at least got a par.
I got a par. Man, I'm surprised at the Seahawks. Steelers.
Good guess, but no.
Ah, shoot.
I don't know what year they had it.
Must have been. Was Bradshaw number one overall?
Let me see if I can. Let's see if I can look it up real quick. Bill Dudley, 1942. Garrett Glick, 1956. And Bradshaw, 1970.
Okay, Bradshaw was. That makes feel a little better than Gear Barry Glick or whatever his name was. That was three guesses, right? Is it just three?
Yeah, I was going to give you. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I guess I could make another guess. Eagles.
Still close. Another bird team, the Baltimore Ravens.
I was going to say the Ravens, but I thought maybe expansion draft year. But I guess it wasn't an expansion draft. It was just the Browns moving.
Yep.
That was a good question. I'll take a par, though.
I would, too, if I were you.
Yeah. Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man show. We'll be back at it next Monday. Maybe we give our draft grades. We'll see.
I like it.
Have a great week, everybody.